Welcome to 30 Rockers, the original 30 Rock podcast.
We are your hosts, Kenny and Holly Pruitt.
This might be a really short episode. We'll see how long I can last or how long the baby lasts.
Yeah, we are recording this episode without any children in the room.
For the first time since we've had three kids.
Yeah.
But mostly I feel like garbage today, so we'll see how long I can make it.
This is like the third time we've tried to record, so we're just going for it.
We're going for it. At least one episode tonight. Well, it's funny that I did end up getting sick because the other day, this person I know was complaining online about how her manager came into work with what I assume is a cold. I don't know. And was just like, how selfish could this person be? I can't believe it. And I was like, I never get sick. So like, and if I like, even when I do get a random cold, like I'm not going to like call in sick to work.
Right.
And then I got sick a couple days later.
Yeah. I mean, in the discussion, we were sort of talking about like a cold just kind of is what it is. I don't have enough sick time to take off for colds.
Like every time I have the sniffles.
Like at my job, you get 64 hours of what they classify as flex time, which is time you can take unscheduled, or if you don't have to take it unscheduled, you can take it scheduled, you know, whatever. And now that's for people that do 8-hour shifts, so they basically get 8 days worth. Well, I work 10-hour shifts. So that means I only am able to call out unplanned 6 days a year. Like, I totally have a cold 6 working days a year.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to spend all of my sick time on a cold, where I guess the difference between a cold and even like the flu is like a cold, you feel kind of miserable.
Right.
But like you can still fully function.
Right. You're not where, like, if spewing you're out of your butthole in your mouth for like 24 hours.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the flu, you can't move for a couple days.
I remember having the flu one time, and it was when Charlie was a baby. So it was a couple years ago. And actually, it was like literally 2 years ago. And like literally, even though the puking was done, I couldn't stand up straight for like every time I stood up, I would get like weak and like almost like pass out. So like I literally was like walking completely hunched over for like the next 24 to 36 hours.
Yeah.
So that's like, who wants to see somebody like that at work?
Yeah, you do. Like, I mean,
because I literally
even
can't
somewhat
eat.
Recently, you just drank a little too much when you went out with your friends, and like the next day were literally just worthless the whole day, and like you couldn't even hardly walk.
Yeah, I know. Well, and it's kind of so as of recording this, we're literally 6 days away from my 30th birthday, and we're going to an event for my birthday. Like, I mean, we're going to an event that would have happened no matter what, but it just happened to be planned on my 30th birthday. And so,
I mean, it's a Harry Potter themed
Yule Ball party. Yeah. Anyway, so there's going to be an open bar.
A combination of multiple things
that happened to be on my 30th birthday. Yeah. And there's going to be an open bar, but like I literally just had one small glass of wine while watching this episode. And I'm already thinking like I should not have another glass of wine.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, what am I supposed to do on my birthday?
Okay. The key, I think, is if you're going to have 5 drinks, you have to have it over the course of 5 or 6 hours. You can't like just guzzle down 3 or 4 drinks in your first hour and a half, 2 hours. That like just starts off your night on a bad trajectory.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Because like if I start with that many drinks, then I'm going to want more drinks.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about drinking is like once you reach a certain level, you just want more alcohol.
Well, yeah, that night that I was drinking, I did stop like, I was like, oh, I am drunk. I should probably stop drinking. And then that I had a bad experience at a bar and was like, well, I need a drink now. So
that sounds about right.
It was a mistake. It was a mistake. But yeah. Well, and then it didn't help that, like, I didn't get home until like 4 a.m. It didn't help that, like, at 8 o'clock, we were woken up to pounding on our door, and it was my dad dropping our kids off very unceremoniously. Like,
that's true.
It was just a miserable
day. Yeah, we were both up, and because you were gone,
you stayed up for
me. I literally was up until 4 a.m. myself. And yeah, so we got about 4 hours of sleep that night.
I needed more. I needed to not drink. So yeah, I guess, like, I just can't handle alcohol anymore. I'm just becoming an old lady.
I mean, there's plenty of old ladies that drink too much.
I know. I don't know what
it is. You're just not built for it, babe.
No, I never have, and I've never had a high tolerance. And I guess that's maybe a good thing.
Yeah. It's probably good.
But I feel like it's just gotten less so. I mean, obviously, I was pregnant up until 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So I couldn't drink anything.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about my alcohol woes.
Yeah. While your 30th birthday is right around the corner, we're here to talk about 30 Rock, episode 321, Mamma Mia.
I thought you would sing it. Mamma Mia.
I've never seen Mamma Mia.
Here I go again.
Or listened to any ABBA songs.
My. How can I resist ya? Okay, anyway. Have you heard that song?
Full disclosure, I could have said Mamma Mia, here we go again, my. But that's the extent of what I know.
Well, but haven't you heard song. Dancing Queen before?
Oh, yeah, okay. Dancing Queen.
Yeah.
Something. Only 17.
I believe it's Young and Sweet, something like that. Anyway, I'm kind of bummed you didn't sing it.
I'm sorry.
This episode is written by Ron Weiner, directed by Don Scardino. It originally aired May 7th, 2009, and Hulu describes it thusly. Liz encourages Jack to find his real father.
Short and to the point.
Nothing about Tracy in there.
No, that's funny because it was about as equally dominant for the episode. Yeah.
Guest stars in this episode were Alan Alda, Amy Schumer, Stuart Margolin, Clayton Dean Smith, and Michael Benjamin Washington.
I legitimately still didn't ever see Amy Schumer.
Was she just in the one shot? And then she was in the background while the photographer was talking to
them. Yeah, I still never noticed her.
Yeah, she was like laughing at Liz while she was doing all her chicken.
We like got into this big discussion about, like, I didn't even know Amy Schumer was a person until like 2 years ago. And then Holly like started just lecturing me about like,
she was super famous
and like had her own show for years before that. We looked it up. It was like 2 years before I said I knew who she was. She had a sketch comedy show on Comedy Central.
That was okay.
And I'm expected to just know every single actor in every single little comedy show that's on cable television.
I wasn't lecturing you. Like, multiple people that I knew, that we know, knew who she was before we did because of Inside Amy Schumer. And it was, like, a very popular show. I also did not know who she was. So I wasn't saying, you dummy, how could you not know who Amy Schumer was? I was saying, like, isn't it funny that neither of us knew who she was?
You never once said that you didn't know who she was. All you said was...
That was the point I was trying to make.
That... Oh, she was like really famous.
No, I said, and she had a show before that even.
Was like, I had no idea Amy Schumer was like a person. It's weird that she gets like a guest star credit. I almost wonder if it's like a retroactive guest star credit. Because, I mean, really, in all intents and purposes.
I don't think I saw her name on the... This is just, I mean, it probably was. This is just on the Wikipedia.
Okay. Because, like, page. It's definitely a very small part. Now, I mean,
although the Wikipedia page for the episode has Keith Olbermann as well, but I didn't see him in this episode. So I deleted his name from our archives.
He would have, I think he was the voice on the ESPN.
I didn't see the ESPN. What?
The SportsCenter clip. Remember they said they even used your catchphrase on SportsCenter last night.
Oh, yes. That was Keith Olbermann. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to count him.
Anyway.
I totally missed that.
It is kind of funny, though, that Keith Olbermann would have done it. And that they even were able to make a SportsCenter like reference with a SportsCenter anchor on an NBC show.
Well, I think he worked for NBC at the time.
Oh, maybe he did.
I think he was on MSNBC in 2009.
There you go.
Right?
Maybe.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, he was on MSNBC for a while.
There was one hat for this episode. Mute button.
Mute button. I wish I had a mute button for our screaming baby the last 2 days.
Yeah, she's been pretty irritable.
She's had some irritable bowels. That's what we've been able to decipher. Or maybe she's kind of raspy too. Maybe she's sick like me.
Anything's possible.
Okay. So after my disastrous performance at the 30 Rockers recap during the last episode, in which I was surprised when the clock started,
right?
Even though I was holding it and watching it, it's your turn.
Okay.
But I also have to find my... So remember, my silly iPhone has that delay. Well, like the 1 second delay.
Just don't like tell me. I'll just keep going until the buzzer happens. You've like never counted down for me, but then for like some reason you did that
one time.
I do
sometimes, but it's been because your phone doesn't have the weird delay. Anyway, are you ready? Three, two, one, go.
Okay, so this episode's Mamma Mia, and the plot of it is that that Jack finds out that he has three possible fathers, and Liz is really, really excited because she apparently loves Mamma Mia, so she calls all of the dads in and says that they won contest, and then it's pretty obvious which one of them is probably Jack's dad, and then he doesn't really want to actually tell him that he's his son, but then he eventually does, and it turns out that the dad needs a kidney, which is obviously setting up the next episode. Meanwhile, Tracy is getting scanned by somebody, or supposedly that's what Pete and Liz think. Turns out Tracy knows that he's faking, but the guy actually is doing good things with the money.
You said scanned by somebody. You didn't say somebody pretending to be his son.
Okay. I also didn't touch at all on the C storyline.
That's a deal breaker. Oh, well, that'll come back. We don't have to worry about that.
Right.
I
think it was, you know, a much better performance than either of our first attempts back. So
yeah.
Maybe there's good things in store for next
episode. Again, I was surprised that the timer started while I was holding it and pressed the start button.
Yep. Yeah, it happened.
Okay. So my biggest observation from this episode. Who eats a banana in the peel? Like who... half peels a banana halfway and like eats it.
Who was doing this?
Pete did that.
Pete.
Like it was, it just, it really grabbed my attention because I don't know anybody that does that.
I feel like it's more a thing so that bizarre. They do on TV than really anybody actually does it in real life. I mean, it actually,
it makes sense, I guess, but I don't like
for sure.
that.
I guess I've probably eaten a banana that way, maybe once in my life or something. But also, apparently the right way to eat a banana is you actually peel it from what most people consider to be the bottom of the banana.
Yeah.
Not actually supposed to peel it from the stem. You peel it from the base of the banana, and it ends up that, like, you don't get those strings, and then you don't have to rip off the little black part at the bottom.
Kate peeled the string, like, one of the strings off and ate it today.
Really?
She's like... I think she just said, look at my string, and like ate it. Because, I mean, she eats string cheese all the time. Right. So like now she like wants the banana strings.
That's
too.
That's funny because she actually usually will like, make me like take the string.
Yes.
She like, it's a
won't even put it on her plate. Like it makes you take it away from her.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, she did that to me.
I guess I didn't even notice it, but you're right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And I do feel like it's more of a like TV thing.
It was just
than
a
like
little
any real person
upsetting.
Actually does it. Because yeah, everyone that I know, you just peel the whole banana
and you eat
get
the
all
whole
the
banana.
Strings off, and then you just eat the banana. That's how most people do
now,
it.
Now, to be it would be a smart idea to do it that way. I peel two bananas every day. And I'm always have to wipe my hands down because I have banana goo on my hands.
Yeah, that's fair. Bless you. Well, still going.
I'm sorry.
A little banana tidbit. I remember when I worked at Jimmy John's.
They have bananas at Jimmy John's?
No.
Okay.
One of the employees there was telling me how like one of the other managers had made a comment to him, and this is the manager like that like we're really good friends with.
Yes.
Like, so he had like told this other employee that like it's impossible to eat a banana without like looking like a weirdo. And like it, for whatever reason, this just like rocked this kid's world. He's like, I like can't eat bananas anymore. Because like, and I like bananas. Like, I would eat them pretty often, but like ever since he told me that, it's like he's right. Like
he
can't eat a banana without like just looking foolish.
I don't think that there's anything foolish about eating bananas.
I just think like, I mean, eating in general.
Yeah.
You're eating.
I don't like, really want to think about like people eating. Like,
right, like it's not like I'm never going to be like, oh, I like the way you look when you eat.
You don't like the way I look when I eat?
I mean, no, I don't like the way anyone look. Like, it's not like there's nothing about eating that's like, oh, like when you eat, it makes you look this way. It's just
true.
Like you're eating. Now, I suppose there could be like really poor etiquette. There are some things I do in eating
oh
that
God.
You don't like.
Are you talking about licking your plate after you eat nachos?
I mean, I don't know. Is that one of the things that you don't like that I do?
That was like a shocking thing that I learned about you. I think when we were dating and I thought it was like a joke, but you do it every time you make anything with salsa
anyway
or sour cream, you lick the plate.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but there was something the other day you did that like I was just like, and that's not worse than me licking my plate. I don't remember what
God,
it was.
What was it?
Oh no, I remember now. It was you using your finger to dip the nacho cheese out of your Taco Bell nachos. That happened.
I don't know. That it's worse. It did happen, and you did say that.
And you know what? That leads me to my first observation. That's a deal breaker, ladies.
No. No. I should have been. Yeah, what if I did say that was a deal breaker? What if we were dating and you were licking your
I was
going
to say, like, what is a deal breaker? I couldn't even really remember, like, she made reference to, like, you know, wearing an Atlanta Falcons jersey or something. I can't remember.
To your sister's
first
wedding. The first one was if he leaves wearing boxers and comes home wearing briefs.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that would be weird. That would be kind of a question as to what series of events led to that.
I can think of a situation in which that could have happened for you, but I won't go into details.
Okay. Well, I mean, every single day I come home wearing different underwear than I left in.
That's
the days I work.
The days that you work, yeah. Because you
go work out and bring a change of clothes.
Yeah.
And then shower and go to work. So, like, if I had both boxers and briefs,
I don't
that could
know.
Very easily happen.
I never see you when you leave the house, though, so I would never know.
That's true. I do leave often before you're awake.
So, what would have been a deal breaker, like, in dating?
I mean, other than, like, the obvious ones, like,
okay, so what
you know,
if
you were a serial killer
yeah,
or something.
Or like an anti-Semite or something like yeah. that. Okay, so what if like, okay, our first date. On our first date, we played mini golf and saw a movie.
I mean,
what if on our first date, I had been like, I had a really good time with you. Is there any way that you could give me a ride to the airport tomorrow morning?
I mean, honestly, Well, okay, what's funny is, was it the next day that I got laid off?
Yes, it was.
It was the very next day, the day after our first day.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, like, well, honestly, like, I was unemployed. It actually wouldn't have been that big of a deal. But I technically was not. I probably honestly would have just been like, oh, I can't. Like, I work tomorrow.
Okay. What if on our first date, mini golf movie...
You immediately put the armrest down?
No. I mean, that obviously wasn't a deal breaker because that did happen and we are now married. What if, okay, first date and I, like, asked you for money. Was like, oh, hey, like, I had a really good time with you. I really enjoyed, like, texting you, getting to know you. My phone bill is due tomorrow and, like, I just don't have it. Could you loan me, like... $40.
That could be like, I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, yeah, probably first date. It would have been a little bit like
I just paid for your mini golf and your movie.
Yeah, like I don't have like any cash. I don't know what I would say. Although I think I only did cash when we were dating.
Like, do you have like Venmo actually, or like PayPal? Because like, would that work out?
I'm trying to think if I would just say, like, oh, yeah, sure. And then just not contact you because, like, you didn't know where I lived and just, like, blocked you on Facebook or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Or if I would have just, like, given you the money and then not talked to you anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. That's a funny one. I mean, it's hard to imagine, like, somebody getting, like, something worse than like I got laid off the day after our first date.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, like, you were unemployed our entire dating relationship and then half of our engagement. Like, you proposed to me while you were unemployed and I said yes.
Now, I did buy you the exact ring you wanted.
That I still have.
Even though I was unemployed.
Yeah. You saved your pennies and you did it. Anyway, but I mean, I can imagine nobody was telling me, oh my God, you shouldn't be with him. But like, I can imagine that there were people that thought, like, what a loser. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure after a certain amount of time, you have to feel that way about yourself, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was definitely a different time in, I mean, like, in my working life and, just the economy, you know, mm-hmm. like there were definitely differences. I mean,
yeah, this was 2010. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's things that I could have done. I don't know. I mean, I wonder. At the time, it's kind of funny because, like, at the time, like, I don't think I would have ever went on a date with you, like, if you weren't a Christian.
Ooh.
You know?
Plot twist.
But I think, like, I don't think you would have gone on a date with me either.
Yeah, probably not.
So it's just, like, funny.
Funny how things have changed.
Like, I think now, like, I'd probably go on a date. You know, if I was single now, I'd probably at least go on a date with somebody that,
yeah,
had a different religious leaning than I did.
What if I was like, okay, what if I was like a vegetarian or like strictly gluten free?
Yeah, that actually probably would be, because like that kind of stuff actually, I guess it depends on how militant you are about right. it. If you're someone who's like, acknowledges the fact that it's an inconvenience, but like you do it because like it really makes you feel better,
or I actually have celiacs.
Yeah, right, like, you know, but you acknowledge the fact that like, yeah, like I, you know, even like kind of wish I didn't have to do this, or not that I don't wish that I had to do it, but like understand that like, hey, I know it's kind of a big, like it kind of affects a lot, but like, could we go to this place instead for a meal because like they have a really good gluten-free option, or, you know, they have a really good vegetarian option versus the other place doesn't. Like, I think honestly, and honestly for most things, I would think it is like the attitude behind it. I even think there's a situation where like you go on a first date with somebody and it just kind of comes up in conversation that like, oh my gosh, I just realized like I just got a text message from my cell phone company that like I have to pay my bill tonight or like they're going to shut my phone off.
Ah.
And like I don't get paid until Friday, you know, or whatever. Like even in that circumstance, like I think there's a series of events where like I could end up paying that bill and not feel like weird about it or like this person's mooching off of me.
I would feel weird about it. I don't know if it would be a deal breaker, but it would take me a while to get over that.
Yeah. Well.
Good thing that didn't happen. Look how far we've come. Look at where we are.
Look at where we started. Tell me about your next observation.
I like Liz's red shirt. I've been doing a lot of shopping lately because I am not back to my pre-baby body. And so I've been looking at like different styles and different things and just kind of like updating my wardrobe. And I really liked that red shirt. I feel like it could fit into my wardrobe really well. And it's also like a different style.
I don't even know what red shirt you're
talking about. I figured it was like a red floral shirt. It was the one that she was wearing.
Your observations are so bizarre that have nothing to do.
I think it's the cold.
The plot of this episode.
It was the one that she was wearing when Jack came into her office and was like, there's three of them. And she's like, it's a Mamma Mia. Just let it happen. It's a Mamma Mia.
Don't remember.
It's really pretty. Okay. But I feel like it was just even like a fit that might be flattering on my current mom bod. But yeah, I liked that shirt a lot.
Fair enough.
I'm really upset right now. I think the reason it stuck out to me is because a shirt that I have bought since I had Eliza that I really like, I dropped a piece of pizza on it while I was heating it up for Kate today and got pizza sauce on it. And I spray and washed it and let it sit for a few minutes before I washed it and it did not come out. So I'm going to have to do it again.
Tomato sauce.
There's a tomato stain
actually, and it's not even tomato sauce. I think it's also like the grease.
Yeah.
And grease
maybe,
is
maybe, oh, I'll try some Dawn then.
Oh, yeah. Try a little Dawn.
We do have Blue Dawn. Yeah. It's the best. So anyway, I think
the best.
That's why I think I noticed her shirt. But just like I've been updating my wardrobe and trying, I don't know, like I've been excited to be 30, but like I feel like I am ready to like look my age, I guess.
Yeah.
I've always looked younger.
Yeah, I mean, I think so over
I'm like trying to just like update my wardrobe.
The last couple of years we've both kind of made some
reinvented
changes
our appearances,
style
yeah.
and our wardrobe. I've largely transitioned. I still wear a hat almost every day. But I've transitioned into wearing like dressier hats.
Yeah. In fact, every time one of our friends sees you in one of your newsboy caps, they always compliment you.
Yeah.
Because they're so used to seeing you in ball caps.
It's true.
I like the newsboy caps.
That is like, you know, an iconic Kenny look. I did recently get my first dad cap.
You're wearing it right now.
I am currently wearing
it. It's cute. I thought it was so stupid. First of all, I think it's just that it's called a dad hat or yeah, whatever. I think it's just the name of it, but like
it is
the
funny.
Style looks really cute on you.
I am a dad.
It's Dame Dalla.
Yep, a little Dame Dalla. It was a pretty good deal. It was $10 for the album and you got a free dad hat. I didn't even download the album.
You sent it to your brother.
I did. I was like, hey, do you want this? It's a rap album. But like I'm
not
a big
gonna lie.
Blazers fan,
I like Damian Lillard a lot. I am very happy that he's on our team. I enjoy him as a person. I think he's a really good guy from what I hear from, you know, other teammates, but also like other people that have just like encountered him.
Yeah.
I've heard some of his music though, and I'm not, I don't know, like I can appreciate some hip hop and
You don't like rap. Like, you don't, I mean,
love Hamilton. What are you saying?
Okay, I mean, Hamilton is a cultural phenomenon.
I'm saying I can appreciate some hip hop. Like, there's hip hop that I can hear. Like, I can hear people freestyle. I can hear, you know, like, and like, I can appreciate it. But like, I don't love, you know, I don't love it. Some from the stuff that I've heard. It's not my favorite.
I've never even sat down and listened to an entire album. It's his second album. I think with anyone, it's like, you know.
I think maybe everything I've heard is from his first album, though. So maybe the second one is better.
I think hip-hop is unique. This is like a funny conversation. But I was listening to a different podcast the other day, and it was talking about how, like, largely artists' first albums are usually like, you know, they're like the most groundbreaking in like a genre or in just like, because they're songs that people have been working on. It's like this one particular artist was talking about how like in his life, you know, he had written hundreds of songs over the course of his life. And so he picked the best 10 songs that he had written for his band's first album. So it was like, you know, of all these songs, he had, you know, he chose the 10 very best. And he said also, like, it's those songs that he wrote for that first album, he will never be able to write songs like that again. Because when he wrote those songs initially, they were just for him. Mm-hmm. They weren't for other people to listen to. Even in his mind, he didn't ever even have the thought that anyone would ever hear these songs. Where now, whenever he writes a song, he knows other people will hear this. Like, right. just that knowledge makes it impossible for him to write songs like he did on his first album. With that being said, the point I'm trying to make is, in hip hop specifically, I'm not a huge hip hop fan, so I can't speak to the genre very much, but the little bit that I have listened to, in my opinion, hip hop I think is unique in the sense that in any genre of music, the artist obviously gets better at their skill over time. Like, they get better at their instrument. They get better at writing lyrics. They get better at crafting a song or whatever. But that doesn't necessarily translate into a better final product. But I do think that usually is the case. There's like kind of a sweet spot, I think, for rap. Like, I think that like as you get into like a second, a third, a fourth album for like a hip hop artist, or like if you are someone who's constantly working on your craft and continuing to release new music, I think those hip hop artists like get better. And so because it is more of like a skill than other genres of music, because like there are different flow patterns and rap styles and different beats and different, you know, like, and like
I definitely think it's like probably like, you know, hip hop and then like maybe like opera singing, you know, or like in, you know, like really intricate ways of vocalizing versus like screaming or singing, you know, pop or rock or, you know, things like, I think that there's a lot more intricacies in like rapping and like more comparable to like an opera singer, the way that they have to use their voice.
See, what's funny is I think that so growing up in a very Christian household, this is going to end up being a long episode now. We're off on tangents. But I grew up in a Christian household. I only ever listened to like Christian music growing up, even like into high school and stuff. And like, you know, I got into like alternative stuff. So it wasn't like the Christian stuff you heard on like Christian radio. And like, I found really good, like heavy music. Like at the time in the early 2000s, like the Christian, like metal alternative rock scene was actually really good. Like a lot of those bands still today are considered like some of the best metal bands, even still. And so, like at the time though, rap in the Christian industry sucked. It was like, terrible.
Who were some rap.
Like KJ52.
Okay.
Who he has a song where the main hook is Coke, fry, and a cheeseburger. Yeah, that's all that I want to order.
So that doesn't rhyme.
Well, I mean,
it's a slant rhyme. It's a flow.
Well, I mean, you don't want to get people started about like rhymes and rap, because like, for example, I've seen this video of like Eminem talking about how he doesn't like when people will say like orange, you can't rhyme anything with orange. And he's like, sure you can. And he goes on to like say like 11 things right in a row that like just by slightly changing the way that you pronounce, instead of saying orange, you can say orange and rhyme that with syringe, like
in orange, the flow of a song. Porridge.
Yeah, orange porridge. For sure. Like, and so in that regard, anyway, all this to say, I think had there been good Christian rap when I was like starting to listen to like music that was of my own liking, I actually think I could have been a kid that got really into hip hop. Because I actually have always been someone who's drawn more to like two lyrics, because I've never like really been able to play an instrument. So I was always more drawn to like, that's what I focused on most, was the lyrics and the vocals. So I think had there been good Christian rap at the time, or if I had just been somebody who like, you know, listened to secular music or whatever, or mainstream music, like I actually think I probably would have got into rap.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
There was a couple. I mean, there were times that I would kind of go back and forth on like, I like Eminem, I don't like Eminem, I like Jay-Z, I don't like Jay-Z. And I don't know, at this point, I don't really like music anymore. I listen to...
Yeah, you literally listen to Hamilton and only, and now that it's November into Christmas December, music. Christmas music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then podcasts. Yeah. So I just think I don't like music. I think that's just where I'm at in my life.
Now, how do you feel about The Sims?
My second observation
for the episode.
I never had a computer.
Like in high school?
Sorry, that's not true. I had a computer. I never played computer games like ever. I played solitaire.
Okay.
But I did have a Sim family at my friend's house.
Okay. Yeah, that was the same thing for me growing up too. It was Trevor's house. I had like a Sim family that I, when
well,
I was
Well, see, this is even funnier. Mine was at Melissa's house. So I was like an adult.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm trying to think, because there's the Sims 4. I think there's all the way to Sims 4 now. So I'm not sure if it was the original Sims or if it was Sims 2 that like I
Mine was
remember
like Sim
playing.
City, I think.
Well, that's different.
No,
than...
I had it, but I had a family, so I don't know. Maybe I had a friend that had Sim City and would talk to
me
about
Sim it. Sim City was kind of cool, but yeah, I definitely remember playing The Sims a lot. And then when I moved out and got like my own place, like I was like an 18 or whatever, and like actually got my own computer.
Like,
I think I did
Sims.
Buy one of The Sims, but then I was like.
You're moving out, getting like, The Sims.
Like, I mean, it was just one of those. I mean, like, you know, I used to play a lot more video games.
It was
games
the dream.
Than
it was like,
now.
It was like, this is the dream. I'm going to move out. I'm going to have a place of my own. I'm not going to have my little brothers and sister running around. I'm going to get The Sims and nobody can stop me. And I'm going to be able to play it whenever I want because I don't have to share this computer with anybody. And then you get there and it's like, this is kind of stupid.
Right, exactly. Well, even, you know, what's really funny. Even when I lived with Matt for the longest time, the only computer in the house was still like in his bedroom for a long time.
That's bizarre.
So like I would still like just go in there like and just
was
be
it like
on
a
computer.
Desktop computer?
Yeah, it was like a desktop.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, The Sims, I don't really remember much about it other than they used to like talk like Charlie Brown.
Yeah, they talked Similian or something.
Yeah. I did not remember a child getting so upset that he peed himself.
No, I knew what she was referring to.
I thought it was, I got excited when Milton then got excited about it being a Mamma Mia. It's like, oh my gosh, this is a Mamma Mia. At the end.
Oh, that's the dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alan Alda.
Was he in a season? Never mind.
He was in ER. He was in ER.
That's not what I was going to ask.
And then he was also famously in MASH, I think is what you're thinking of.
Okay. No, that's not actually what I was thinking of. Was that your third observation for the episode? Him getting excited about that. I mean, I feel like one of the other main parts of this episode was the fact that white people cannot tell how old black people are.
It's true. We literally just had a conversation about this the other day.
I feel like in that way, black people, just in general, are like 20-year-old women.
No.
20-year-old white women to me. I have this going in today's society, at least. I don't know if this is how it was back in the day, but
it could be like right now, 5 years one way or the other.
You can almost go 10 in some cases.
Oh, like, a 20-year-old looks like a 10-year-old?
I said in some cases, there will be times where it's like, I don't know if she's 25 or 15.
Yeah.
Like she could be either, and well, I believe
feel like that's I feel like that's the category that I fall into often is like, I'm 29, I'll be 30 when this comes out, you know?
But you could easily, be 19 or 20.
19 or 20.
Like it just depends on, because like you'll still occasionally get carded.
Usually when I don't have kids.
But yeah, like, right. Like if we're out buying alcohol at the grocery store with our kids, we're not going to get carded. Like we have three kids. Right. Like, but if we're out to eat by ourselves, we'll probably get carded.
Right. You, well, and sometimes, see, it depends too, because like, I feel like sometimes you look older than me. I don't know.
Maybe.
But anyway, I fall into that category of, yeah, I'm just about 30. I look like I could be 25. I look like I could even be 20.
In the right circumstances.
In the right circumstances.
Like even like, you know, depending on.
But then like, am I really going to look much different 5 years from now? Probably not.
Right. Well, you know? Right. So, and so then like you also could at 35, pass for 35. Now four, I don't know.
Not
you may
40.
Not be able to pass for 40. So that's what I'm saying. I think like 25 to like, I think like 24 to 27 is like this magical
vortex.
Like white woman vortex where it's like. You know, or basically from 14 to being like 27.
Right.
To, you know, getting to 30. It's like, I don't know if you're in high school, if you're in college, if you are in your mid-20s, or if you're almost 30.
Yeah.
Like, you could be any number of those things. And like, part of it is because like, gosh, I feel like when we were in high school, like, there was, like, teenage fashion and then, like, adult fashion. And I kind of feel like we're kind of getting to the point where, like, high schoolers just dress like adults.
Well, I remember, like, because I do very vividly remember, like, buying clothes when I was out of high school. Specifically, like, this is, like, fashionable. Like, this is, like, grown up, or you know,
right?
Like,
it's like a more adult,
right? And
thing.
So I would have never worn, but like if I had worn that to school, I would have felt like a nerd, you know. So like,
right? Exactly.
So I, yeah, and I think it is. I think it is different now.
And obviously, there still is stuff like that. Like, but I think it's like I think your teens and your 20s are more bleeding together. I think it's also partially like our generation, because I mean, like. Because so many more people are waiting to settle down, have kids, buy houses. I feel like that is resulting kind of in like, you know, people our age still dress very, like they're very fashionable.
Well, I think it's
in their
like,
dress.
And I think it's a lot of it is, yeah, like waiting to settle down and like the idea like, oh, we're still really young. I'm like, I'm not
right.
old because I'm 30. Like, I don't think, I still think that I'm, in the grand scheme of my life, I'm hoping that 30 is still very young for
right.
the span of my life. However, I'm not 16. I'm not
right.
18. I don't feel like I have the whole world at my fingertips, you know?
Well,
like,
and we have a mortgage and we have three kids.
Right.
Like, I think, but like, so in thinking like our friends, like the Davises versus like us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just like both of them dress much trendier than we do.
Yeah.
They have much trendier like just they just have a trendier lifestyle in general.
They do.
And like part of that I think is like that is I think way more common. Mm-hmm. Like they kind of live the Friends lifestyle.
Yeah.
That like nobody lived when Friends was on.
Right. But they are. They are like they're like, I guess, Monica and Chandler.
Yeah, they're like Monica and Chandler. Like
or like Ross and Rachel. I like yeah. Ross.
I mean, they don't have any kids.
Yeah, I guess Ross and Rachel had a kid. I just like really like Ross a lot.
Well, I know. I know you're
and I love that. Jacob and Kelsey, so I want them to be Ross and Rachel.
Okay, that's fair enough. Well, I think that just brings us to rating this episode.
Yeah, I will go first because. It's officially my birthday month, and okay. I am the queen of December.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I'm rating this a 27.
Oh, my gosh.
I liked it a lot.
Wow.
I chuckled out loud several times.
Yeah.
I thought Kenneth was fabulous in this episode.
He was short. He was very sporadic, but he had perfect. Great moments, yeah. For sure.
Lutz was fabulous in this episode. Twofer, amazing in this episode.
Yeah.
Jack was great. I think Jack showed a lot of depth of character in this episode. I'm going to see how many times I can say episode in this okay. review. Liz and Pete had their like, you know, BFF moment of like trying to get to the
white
bottom
people
of...
being confused about race.
Yeah. Yeah. Jenna was actually a good person in this episode. Yeah. She was a regular, like, normal human being that was actually, like, looking out for her friend.
Right.
Yeah, it was great. And Alan Alda, man.
Okay.
27.
Very good. You made a lot of very convincing arguments.
Yeah, I know I did.
It's making me question whether or not I'm giving this a proper rating. I'm not going to change my rating.
Oh, rude.
Based on your... excellent argument, but I think that this is a good example in the differences of like what we like about certain episodes. Because I totally agree with all the points you made. Everybody hit their marks in this episode. Like everybody did what they do well.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, nothing happened in this episode.
Are you kidding me right now? Jack found out who his effing father was. How can you sit there and say nothing happened in this episode?
I mean, okay. Technically, yes, he found out who his father was, but it was like, it just like wasn't, there was nothing satisfying about it because it was just like such a, we're going to find out, okay, the episode's over. This whole episode was just to like find out what's going to happen next episode. And like in that regard, like that's not what I want from a sitcom. Like to me, it wasn't a very good standalone episode. I almost would like this episode more if it was a part one of a two-part finale. Like, because I don't know, it's just the way I felt when the episode was over. I was like, oh, that's just like nothing happened. Like, I guess he found out who... Anyway, so all I'm right. giving this a 15.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I agree with everything you said, but like, I'm always going to be more concerned about like story than...
And even Tracy, like, Tracy was great in this episode.
Babe, I agree with you.
He was
you.
Practicing sitting at the
no,
beginning
you know
of the
what,
episode.
Babe? I agree with you. Like I said, you made me question, but I already wrote it down and circled it on my paper.
I guess that's just the
difference
between you and
me. There's nothing.
You,
it's in pen, babe. There's nothing you can do.
Well,
once it's been written
it's
down.
It's in your official
30
Rockers
circled.
Notebook that's going yes. in the garbage once we're done with this podcast.
Is it? I mean, we can probably sell it on eBay or something.
If you want to tell Kenny how wrong he is, how would you be able to do that as the listener, Kenneth?
Well, if you listen to this podcast and you like to contribute and let your voice be heard, you can literally let your voice be heard by leaving us a voicemail at 754-30-ROCK-1. You can also hit us up on most of the social medias, the big hitters, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at 30 Rockers Pod. We also have an email, contact@30rockers.com. And we actually had a listener who did just that. Wrote us an email at contact@30rockers.com. And for the first time, they beat us to the punch. And they gave us their thoughts about Mamma Mia.
Aww.
So this is our good friend Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
He's left us voicemail in the past. He was what sparked our return to the airwaves for one episode
our a few comeback. Months ago. Gosh. Life was rough for a while, Jeff. We're getting back in
it. Jeff, we're here for you. So he has three thoughts as well. So I'll go ahead and share those. He really enjoyed the he says great introduction to deal breaker storyline. In this episode, the key line was I'll hold the chicken. Hilarious, he says. Tracy's love That's child, true. Followed by the question of how old Tracy is. He could be 70. I love when Tracy admits to Liz that he knows Donald is 40. Liz gives a classic, what? As many times as she does that, I laugh every time. Finally, brilliant casting Alan Alda as Jack's father. Mm-hmm. I can't say anything more about it. His score, 20. Higher than he originally thought he would give it.
Wow. I think, you know, I haven't taken any cold medicine because I can't because I'm breastfeeding, but maybe it's the cold. It's just going to my head. I thought this was a great episode.
No,
it, you know what? Okay. No, and like you I know said, what it is? It's that I've missed watching 30 Rock so much.
And this is probably like, this is the best of the episodes since we've been.
Right.
Back. Yeah, for sure. I can see that. And, you know, Jeff, I have to say, had we not picked a quote directly from the show, he ends his email with a what could have been a great tagline for our show, a great way to end it.
Yeah.
And he says, keep on 30 rocking.
That we should have thought of that.
Yeah,
three seasons ago.
Right. Well, but I mean,
Jeff, just do our job for us.
Appreciate the feedback, Jeff. You know, he's kind of right in the middle of us.
Yeah,
he gave it a 20, right there. Kind of, yeah, it's almost the average of our scores.
Maybe the next episode will be a perfect 30 for my 30th birthday.
Oh my goodness. It is going to be a the finale. Next episode is the season 3 finale. So season 3.
Did you ever think we'd get to the season finale of season 3? Oh, I knew we'd
eventually get to the, yeah, I mean. Yeah. Eventually return to the airwaves.
Ugh, it just took a lot longer than we expected.
Well, we'll see. This episode, I'll probably be able to release this tomorrow. Today's Sunday, December 3rd. This will probably be able to come out Monday the 4th, which is when it normally.
You're committing.
Yeah, because I maybe we'll have an episode that comes out on your 30th birthday, babe. We'll
that would be great. We'll try to
record one more episode this week and get it out on your birthday.
You're making some bold commitments.
We'll see what happens. Until next time, for 30 Rockers, I'm Kenny.
And I am Holly.
And remember, everyone, just don't be yourselves.